Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. It's episode 118 of Please Advise. My guest today is Jamie Lee. You might know her from Girl Code. You might want to pick up her new book, Ridiculous, which is a good title. I really enjoy it. I'm guessing it's about how ridiculous weddings are.
You would be correct.
Did you just get married?
I did. I got married in April, and the whole process was just so unnecessarily crazy.
I can't tell you how much like I thought I wanted to get married my whole life. I think that I really just hate weddings. Like I think that I just don't I like going to them for other people. I don't want to have one myself, and I think it's because I find like the whole process to be very painstaking. That would be very painstaking for me to plan a party.
It's also interesting that you say that, cuz I feel like when you go to other people's weddings, you are sort of satisfying that wedding tooth.
Yeah.
And when you plan a wedding, you're like, oh, I'm just throwing a thing that everyone goes to, including myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's mine, but it's still a thing we've all done before.
Did you feel any need to be competitive with other people's weddings you've been to?
No. I don't think I felt competitive. I actually think that was kind of my reason for writing the book, was that like, we shouldn't be competing, because even when you're planning a wedding and you're putting all this pressure on yourself to like make it your own, make it special.
Yeah.
Like, you know, pepper it with all these tiny details that people are going to walk away being like, what a cool detail.
Yeah.
It's still very much in line with wedding. It's still food, flowers, booze. Like even when you think you're going extreme and like making this big impression, you don't realize that like actually you're only slightly departing from the norm.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And you know what I realized as well, like even just as you were talking, like a lot of my friends who were planning weddings for the last year were comparing their weddings to people of like, let's face it, in LA, if you're getting married, you're either like not in the place in your life where like you feel totally financially set, but you're with someone that you love, or you're fucking financially set as hell. And you're like, finally, I'll do this marriage thing. Like, I'll get around to this having a real relationship thing and try and get married.
Right.
And so a lot of you either go to the weddings of like starving artists who are like working it out and like still figuring stuff out, or you're going to the wedding of a fucking millionaire. And like, how can you, they're apples and oranges. You can't compare them.
Right. Also, the wedding of the millionaire is always a funny thing, because I feel like the more money someone has, the more they want their wedding to feel like, oh, we're just in a field.
Yes, absolutely.
It's this weird, like, it's exactly, it's like you would think they would go like more lavish.
Yeah.
But it always is the opposite direction. We're like, you shouldn't wear shoes. And you're like, wait, what? Like,
yeah,
the millionaire shoeless wedding? Like, what's happening?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Okay, wait. So I want to ask you, I'm not married. I'm not thinking about getting married. I really honestly, one of my New Year's resolutions was in life to like get mine. Like not even like in dating or anything else, but like in work. Like I can't, if I do something for someone, I'm not gonna walk away like I always do, being like, oh, it's okay, like that they took advantage of me. Like they can have my ideas. That's fine. Okay. So last night I decided, I was like between two Mollies, I was like, I'm either gonna stay home and do a face mask and like watch 2020, or I'm going to go on a Tinder date. And I've had like a few matches that I've been like saving for a while. So I like activated this one match and I was like, let's go out tonight. Let's go to this bar nearby me and get drinks. So we get there and like, I also am really big on like, there's nothing that can ever come wrong from a Tinder date. Like either I have a great story that comes out of it, or I meet a cool guy.
Right, right, right.
Or like I meet a cool guy and I make out with him, or we like date for a while. I've had all of those scenarios come from Tinder dates. So
it's so fun to hear someone talk positively about Tinder.
I fucking love it.
Oh, I love that. Like, I feel like I hear all I feel like people just always like shit on the experience of online dating. I'm like, it can't be that bad.
No, it's also because those people are doing it wrong and they don't understand it. Like I think that you really, if you walk into it expecting anything more than just like, this is going to be a cool story and like, I have to trust in my faith that I swipe correctly in life. Like, I swipe correctly and it's all in the eyes. Like, I see these people. I'm like, no wonder you're not going on great Tinder dates. You've matched with duds. Like, they have sociopath eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, like, looks hot, but, like, every scenario he's in, he also looks like American Psycho. So, anyway, I go out with this guy last night. I didn't, like, check his bio again because I try to sometimes play a game with myself or, like, I sometimes don't even know the guy's name going in anymore because I forget who I matched with and who I made the date with. So I get there. It turns out the guy is like 43. He drives for Postmates and like he has no long-term plan.
Oh, no.
But like he's really cute, okay? And then like halfway through our date, this guy walks up to us. He's like a cast member on The Deadliest Catch. He is like... He is so defensive. Like, he's hardened. Like, he, like, this man has been at sea for years, and you can just tell because, like, he doesn't, he wants to talk to us and hang out with us, but, like, he doesn't know how to talk without being oddly defensive. And it's like, this is like some weird, like, you literally are a fisherman reality star. Like, that's the only combination of things that could happen to make a person like this. So, except for maybe like the military. So, we, then go to a second location. And I'm like, this date's kind of magical. We just met this weird guy from Deadliest Catch. Like, I'm never going to see this guy again. I already know that. So I'm like, let's go get crazy hamburgers. Like, I want to eat right now a ton. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to make out with him on the street. And then I'm going to go home in my car. So in an Uber. So I don't drink and drive ever. So I go, I'm outside the bar and I'm making out with this guy about to get in my Uber. And all of a sudden I hear, "Hi, Molly." And I look up and it's a guy that a very long time ago I worked with him and we also kind of had a fling that was like a secret. Ooh, but okay. Not a secret.
Wait, sorry. He was driving the Uber. Where did he come from? Where did this person emerge
street.
From?
The
oh,
street.
He emerged in the street. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought you meant he was the Uber driver.
No.
I was like, wait,
no.
What?
No.
Okay.
I'm probably not telling this story totally great because
No, you are. You are. I just missed that part. Okay.
So it's just a guy on the street, and
okay,
I hear, "Hey, Molly,
yeah.
Look up." It's this guy that I worked with / not so secretly dated.
Okay.
And then I'm like, "Oh, hey." And like, I first of all, I feel caught. Like, I feel like someone caught, I've been caught red-handed. Like, first of all, who the fuck interrupts someone's makeout session, right? The guy doesn't even stop to talk to me. Like, he's like, he's kind of like, "Oh, hey, good to see you." And then like, he keeps like walking by and I'm like,
what?
And I really honestly feel like, I feel like it was kind of bullying.
It feels a little bit like that.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Like, because also this guy is the type of guy that would be like, "Well, I was just saying hi." Like, I don't like, he's the kind of guy that like leads every conversation with what a nice guy he is and how he didn't do anything wrong.
Never a good sign.
And no, I know. And I've told him that before too. I'm like, you understand, like in this effort to like make everything clean with everyone, you look like a psycho, right? Like,
yeah.
It's okay to do fucked up shit sometimes as long as you own it.
Totally. Yes.
Like, we all have been there and done embarrassing things, right? So
you're mid makeout and he says, "Hi, Molly," and then just essentially keeps walking.
And then, yes. And then then my Uber gets there, right? And I see the guy, I'm like, "Oh, that was like an old friend." And I like, my Uber's there and I was like, "Okay, I gotta go." Like, and I, cause at this point I guess I was just drinking beers, but I was like, but I was also a little bit stoned. Like,
okay.
I brought my weed pen. Because, like, you know, especially when I know this is going nowhere, I'll just start smoking pot in the middle of my date. Like, I'm great at dating. So I'm a little stoned. I'm really fucking weirded out that this guy has done this to me. I get in the car, and then all of a sudden I find myself texting the guy who said hello to me, saying to him, like, "Can you kill me? Like, I'm so embarrassed." Why was I embarrassed?
Yeah, you
why
shouldn't have been embarrassed.
Why was that my reaction to be like, "Oh, I'm so humiliated that you, someone I dated like 7 years ago, saw me making out on the street with someone?" Like, it was.
What was his response? Did he get back to
he
you?
He was like, I was like, "God," I said, "that was so sad and awkward." And he said something like, "Sad and awkward is my wheelhouse, so don't worry about it."
I'm like a little weirded out.
I mean, girl, like, thank
I'm
you.
I'm really feeling this moment.
And it's been hitting me in waves all day.
Yeah, like, it's the type of thing that would hit you in waves. Because it's not significant enough to truly put a damper on your weekend.
Right.
But it is enough of a mind fuck to be like, "I'm sorry, what was that?"
And then there's this additional element.
Ooh, okay.
Where I feel that this individual that said hello to me on the street last night has befriended one of my very like recent ex-boyfriends. And so I feel very insecure about that, as I feel double caught. And I'm like, I don't know why any of this should make me feel guilty about myself or anything that I did. Like, there is no guy that is like racking his brain trying to forgive himself for making out with a girl last night on the street. There is no man in this country that is doing that today. So why I'm doing it is very strange. But like, you agree that that's weird, right?
Well, I do think it's weird, especially because my default is, even if I see someone I like on the street, I still won't necessarily
say hello to anyone. My biggest nightmare, I feel like, well, I also am I'm very delusional in that I feel I wear an invisibility cloak. Like, I don't think anyone can see me when I'm walking through the world. When I'm at the grocery store, I'm fucking invisible. Like, you can't see me. Like, I talk to myself at the grocery store.
I wonder if that's an LA thing, because I've also felt that a little bit since I've been out here, where yeah. I'm kind of just always, like, basking in anonymity.
Yeah.
And then the second someone's like, oh, hey, Jamie, I'm like, ah.
I feel like it's a shakedown. Like, whenever I see someone, my own best friend's mother waved to me from her car at the Americana the other day, and I swear to God, it might as well have been like the ghost of my grandmother. Like, I was shook. Like, I could not believe someone said hi to me. It took me like a minute to gather
myself. It's kind of like not the culture out here. It's kind of like, you do your thing, I'll do mine. If we're gonna intersect, that's like not okay with me.
Absolutely.
Can I speculate about something? Are you from here or no?
I'm not. I've only lived here 2 years, and I lived in New York before that, and I grew up in Texas.
Okay,
so like, short bio.
I think it's also because you're a transplant. And yeah. So like, if you were back in your hometown, you're kind of mentally prepared that like, oh shit, I might run into someone I know.
Right.
Versus like here, it's like, A, it's such a big city, but also
but I'm
you're
the
not
queen
from
of
here.
Glendale. So it doesn't make any sense. Like, also, like, in my own backyard, that was the other thing, is I was like, don't you dare come to Glendale and say hi to me. Like, this is where I live. So weird. By the way, I'll give you
I
one of my matchbooks that says Queen of Glendale.
Oh, please do.
But okay, well, Jamie, I have to make a quick plea before we get into this, but I'm glad you agree that that's weird. And I do. I definitely felt shook down by that. So I need to make a quick plea. You guys, I'm going to the Women's March next 2 weeks from now. So we have to record 2 weekends in a row. That's 4 shows. And we need extra, extra calls. So if you're listening to this right now on a Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday sort of thing, Friday, up until Saturday the what? 14th? If you're hearing this before Saturday the 14th, call and leave a question. I don't care what the question is. I don't care what it's about. I do care if you're making it up. Don't make it up, because that discredits the whole show. But like, just ask a question, because I need as many questions as possible for our next 2 guests. I think, guys, I've booked some like strange guests for you guys in the next couple weeks. So just call. Leave as many voicemails as possible, 323-450-7408. More than ever do we need your calls. I feel like a PBS telethon. More than ever, we need your pledges. Yeah.
And also, you can record a voice note or email us a question at askpleaseadvise.
Yeah, you guys, the voice notes sound really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jamie, do you want to – we have like a thing that we do, 3 reasons why you're qualified to give advice.
Yes.
Did you make a list?
I did.
Okay.
In my phone. I'm staring at it right now.
I kind of knew that's what you were doing. Okay.
I was trying to be coy. Like, I know my reasons.
No, every guest
– check the notes.
Prepares differently, and that's one of my favorite parts of the 3 things. So,
seeing our process beforehand.
Because some people come in and are just so fucking confident. They know they'll make them up on the spot. They didn't even read the email about how to get to my house. They just showed up here and have 3 reasons. Some people are like, have been fretting over it in their car for days, like weeks. Like, if I've asked you on a month in advance, those people come in like with a flop sweat. And I'm like, you guys, it's not that big of a deal. So
I'm somewhere in the middle. I feel like I did this like right before I got in the car.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Okay, so my 3 reasons. First one is I'm a professional comedian and author. Mm-hmm. That's a sincere one.
Yep.
Second one, I haven't had a manicure in 2 months. Very
damn
brave.
Girl.
Very
You're just
brave.
Really busy, right?
It's been a little tough, yeah. But I hope to get to the salon soon.
Me too. Look at how grown out my gels are. They're like half of my nail is not.
But they're matte.
Thank you.
Those are
I'm
nice.
Like, yeah, thank you.
Yes,
they
thank
are
you.
Matte.
They are
yes,
matte. and the next one is I've never tried to be vegan. I've never even dabbled.
That's great.
Yeah. I haven't even, like, not even a weekend.
What about vegetarian?
one time when I was 13 and all I did was eat mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, like that's the big thing with vegetarianism is like you have cheese. And like if you have cheese, you have everything you need.
I know.
Like, I mean,
it's like a cheat ingredient. It's right. so versatile you're that right. you're not really depriving yourself of anything. Oh, God,
I love Can I cheese. Ask you guys something? What's what? Something that you're tired of seeing at weddings?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mason jars.
That's what mine was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mason ever, jars.
No one wants to see a mason
the
jar.
The one thing I will say is my friend did mason jars with a handle. So it was like a coffee mug. And I do use it a lot. And that was her gift.
That was their hostess gift.
That was the gift to take home. And it had like our initials on it. And I remember just being like, oh, I actually might use that.
That's
I
good.
Have one more thing. Performative performances meant to be viral videos.
Oh, like dancing oh, I talk down
about
the,
this in
that
the book.
Shit. Fucking send shivers
if you,
down
if
my
you
spine.
Go into if you are in a wedding and you're or if you're in your friend's wedding and your goal is to create something that might go viral for you,
yeah,
that is truly troubling to me. Like I like you're basically using your friend's wedding to like have you like on the internet rapping like the Fresh Prince lyrics or whatever. That's all. It's always
also
Fresh
just
Prince.
Like the bride and like the bride and her dad like doing a choreographed dance. Like that makes me sick to my stomach because I'm like, you guys got together in your free time. You made your dad practice this, like,
I know.
Or your dad made you practice yeah. this. Like, whose moment is this? Like, the two of you seriously came up with this together. Like, there's obviously one of you who's far more passionate about this like weird choreographed dance. I hate it. It's so much pressure. That's, I mean, but also that's why you can't invite someone like me to your wedding because like I'm just sitting there like staring straight ahead thinking the entire time being like, how do I react? How do I react?
Oh, I had a moment like that where I was like cringing and then I realized I was cringing and being recorded and I was like, oh, I have to fix my face because yeah. like this is being recorded and they're going to look at their photos and see me in the corner being like, oh, like that grimace emoji.
My friend has this amazing website called Douche Chills and they have a whole tab devoted to just viral video attempts at weddings. And I'm telling you, like, again, like the amount of people who take the theme song from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air
no.
and then replace the lyrics
no.
about their friend, like, my friend Katie is my best no. friend and she's no. real cool and we've known each other, we'll be friends till the end or whatever it is.
Oh my God.
And you're just like, oh my God. And the amount of them, like I'm talking quantity of people who do this at weddings is it'll you won't sleep for years after you watch it.
Can I
so
just say, like, you probably agree with this too, like in entertainment, I'm done with white girls rapping as a bit for, like, as a bit about, as a commentary on white girls rapping,
1,000%.
As a non-commentary.
Yes.
I just, like, guys, you're just making everyone uncomfortable. Every time you get lazy in the writing process and just say, we'll have the grandma rap. Like,
no
more uncomfortable rapping. Like, it literally makes me, and douche chills is exactly a perfect word for what that is.
So rough.
It's also lazy.
It's lazy. Ugh. Also, when you said the grandma rapping, I'm like, old people doing things as
yeah,
a joke
yeah.
is like, I can't.
I mean, well, I'm like very soft spot for the elderly. I don't feel like we like appreciate that generation the way that we did even when I was growing up. Like, it was the greatest generation. Like, we
I
had
know.
Such reverence for like, oh, my grandmother was in the Depression, so like, I have to eat everything in the entire house. Like, you just like, grow up with a different mindset. And I don't think that people have that now, especially like, I feel like there's been some sort of like, with like the 28-year-old millennials, I feel like something even fell off there where it's like, they are like, oh, like, yeah, like grandma's wearing like fucking like stunner shades and like a shirt that says it's lit. And like, we're just waving a blunt in the corner of the vine right now. And it's like,
yeah.
this is like, your grandmother has done so much shit in her life. She does not deserve this. And like, if the only time she can get with her grandkids is her putting on a ridiculous t-shirt and some neon sneakers, like, I'm going to die.
Right.
Like, I'm literally going to die.
Like, guys, stop trying to make your grandma say on fleek. That word isn't cool anymore. And B, it's just not cute.
It's like, it's a bad, it is. It's elder abuse. Well, okay. Do you guys want to take our calls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Hey, Molls, I'm calling with a dilemma about one of my best friends. To set this up, we are both 30. She's single. I'm not. And I've been distancing myself from her lately because she is very selfish. And it doesn't affect me much except for the times when she creates like a whole plan for the day without asking me and just texts me and says, I'll be at your house in 5 minutes. And I'm like, no. But anyway, So the problem is she did something really, really horrible. And I don't even want to talk to her anymore. And I don't know if I'm just overreacting. But so basically, there's this guy that she used to hook up with who now has a girlfriend and has had a girlfriend for about 8 months or so. And this past weekend was his birthday. And the girlfriend very generously took out him and 12 of his friends and paid for their entire dinner, which is insane. And it included my best friend. And I don't think the girl knows that they had hooked up in the past. But anyway, so she was texting me all night talking about moving in on this guy. And I was like, you're ridiculous. Like, he has a girlfriend. Find someone else. Back off. And then whatever. That's just her. She's just like very flirty. And I thought she was joking. But then the next day she told me she slept with him. I don't know where the girlfriend was, but she let this girl pay for her dinner and then she fucked her boyfriend, which is so selfish and two-faced and just so gross. And like, if that's what she's made of, like, I don't want her anywhere near me or my boyfriend. And like, it's just gross. I don't want to be associated with it. So like, do your friends do horrible shit and you just ignore it? Or is it something that like, it's not an overreaction for me to stop talking to her? I told her like that was fucked up. She's guilty too. And she's like, oh, I'm not denying it. I'm not going to date him, which is like, why even bother? But anyway, so I've been ignoring her texts and because I just don't want to talk to her. And I don't know if I'm overreacting or if you would do the same thing. Let me know. Thanks.
Okay. First of all, were you like at all distracted by the fact that they went to dinner? Like, I was like, what did they get? I wanted to eat dinner so bad. As soon as I was like, oh, that sounds good. Like a big dinner. Yo, that's like, look, a younger me would have made such a big deal out of this. Like, I would have ripped her so many assholes. Like, she would have no question about why she and I are never friends again. Like, I would be so vocal about it. Because I can't, I used to not be able to police myself in any capacity when I sensed injustice. New me would try very, very hard to just not text this bitch back ever again and, like, kind of let her figure it out herself. Like, I'm not going to give you the present of confirming for you that we're not friends anymore because you did this fucked up thing. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that she can be friends with this girl, right?
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I think that to me, I mean, the injustice is so clear and it's just such a clear, like, you don't do that mm-hmm. to the point where it seems symptomatic of this girl lacking kind of a empathy. Normal empathy or sympathy with others to the point where it's almost for me less about this particular incident and more about the fact that this something like this will clearly happen again.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I was going to say that this does like smack of like some sort of mood disorder. Like, and I was also
thinking that
schizophrenia, but or not schizophrenia. She's a sociopath, but like, to be honest, a sociopath probably wouldn't brag about this to another friend. I think that this girl, like, it's either like borderline or like histrionic personality, yeah. Like some sort of like severe like sexual validation needs, but then also just like bulldozing people. Like, that did weird me out at the top. Like, I mean, like, I'm definitely the cruise director for my friends sometimes. Like, I'll be like, I figured out this plan. Like, let's all go do this. But I'm never like, I'll be at your house in 20, like, drop your plans. Like, that's the difference between a normal, control-taking, enthusiastic person and a crazy person.
Yeah, I thought that was like the thing she was calling about was yeah. to talk about that. And then on top of that odd, annoying, inconvenient behavior is this other thing that's very indicative of, I mean, I want to say like low self-esteem, but I'm like, it sounds like it goes so far beyond that. There's a real lack of humanity.
Because
I don't know if I'm being dramatic.
This girl is righteous.
No, yeah.
You're totally valid.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that also, why would you brag about? I think that's the part. It's not like
righteous.
I did this fucked up thing. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with me. I'd be like, okay, let's calm down.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you don't feel good about what you did, but like, you're not a bad person. But then to do the thing a bad person would do and be like, yeah, I fucking did it. That's crazy.
That's what's crazy. Exactly. That's the total line. And like, I think that like, look, there are people I hate to make blanket statements and say like people who facilitate cheating are like awful. I mean, in general, I do believe that. I do believe I also, you know, it's also definitely this guy's fault too. If he was, I mean, that is just so scummy to do that to your girlfriend. The friend that she used to hook up with is also kind of a bastard. But like, I think it's, I think the way she did it was what was really ugly. And one thing that I was thinking about was that, like, if I was you and I was sitting at home getting these texts, part of me would be like, she's really drunk. Like, this is really fucked up too. But like, I also kept thinking that this is something that would probably, even if she like got sober or something, I think she would still be this person. Like, I think that alcohol, if anything, probably just like gives it, I'm assuming that they were all drinking very heavily at this birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that like alcohol is only something that makes her feel more comfortable in being a sociopath as opposed to something that like aids her in making mistakes, like, and in poor judgment, like any human.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in terms of cheating, I cheated on my college boyfriend. Not full blown, but I don't know. I think, I mean, I'm also in the camp of like, if you kiss someone behind the guy's back, it's cheating. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
I just, anything that you would not, he would not want to hear about is probably cheating. But I do think cheating is, a sign that something is wrong. And I think you can be a good person and still cheat. And I'm not endorsing cheating in any capacity, but I am saying that I think stuff can happen, but this to me feels, again, it goes beyond that for me.
Because she did say, she hits it on the nail on the head at the end of it, saying like, she's not a 20, we're not 21, we're 30. Yeah, like, this is a little too old to be keeping up with these antics.
And it's also when it involves somebody else and them getting hurt. Like, it's not just like, you're in a weird thing and you're feeling confused and you have, you know, feelings for someone else and you should get out of the thing you're in. It's not one of those. It feels like it just involves too many people getting hurt.
Dude, fucking nuts. Have you ever had a friend like that? No, right?
Well, again, it's this shame thing. Like, when I did that to my boyfriend in college, I was like, I can't even like look at myself.
Yeah.
And I never told, now I'm talking about it because I am long out of college and I'm like, I've dealt with it. But at the time I was like, no one can ever know.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's so, so wrong. Embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Okay, well, I think we agree that you're probably doing the right thing by cutting this person out of your life. I think that if she demands an explanation, I mean, you didn't even really ask about that. My big question would be, how do I continue to avoid this girl when she is kind of webbed into my social scene?
I mean, also, or is the approach like one of those conversations where you're like, what's going on with you? Like, turn it around on them to see what they say.
I don't know.
I've never actually done that. It always sounded nice.
Like,
to
how,
like, approach it as if like you're not putting it on you. And yeah. Your own disappointment, you're acting like you're coming from a place of concern.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might be an effective strategy to get her to talk about her behavior.
Like,
I don't know.
I'm concerned you're sexually acting out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Damn. That's like a good manipulation tactic. I need to like practice that more in my life.
I've never done it, but if it works for the caller, please let us know.
Please let us know
if it's effective.
It also seemed like she was totally over the friendship, even at the top of the call.
Well, that's
she was
thing.
Kind of just like, I get these texts from her that she's coming in 5 minutes and I have to like, she plans my day for me.
Yeah.
It sounds like this was the final straw.
Yeah.
I think a very big final straw.
All right. Well, I mean, let us know.
You can make new friends in your 30s. It's fine.
Continue to update us because I do want to know how you're able to navigate your social group knowing that, Wags, come on, my fucking chapstick cap fell on the floor. It's not like the end of the world. I know, but let us know for sure because I am interested to see how you're able to avoid this girl when she's so like woven into your social circle. It sounds like that's probably going to be difficult, and I'm sure there's going to be updates on this, like more things are going to happen. So please, as awful as I feel that these things are going to happen to you, please keep us updated when they do, because they will. All right, let's take our next call.
Hi, Malls, it's Ariel. I just left you a voicemail, but it was way too long. I'm going to make it faster. I'm 30 years old. I live in a little cute suburb outside of New York City. My husband works in the city. And I'm a new mom. I have a 5-month-old little daughter. And yes, I'm like the youngest person around here who has a baby. Everybody's like 38. So anyway, so I have a friend here. She's another new mom. She has a daughter as well. 37. And basically, I'm calling because I'm trying to decide if I should pull like a fade away from our friendship because she copies and buys literally everything I have. So it started out like I would recommend some baby gear or like some kind of mom related item to her and she would get it. Like, not a big deal. That happens all the time. But it would be very specific. Like, she would get like a specific baby carrier I had, or I'd have like a letter in my daughter's room, like painted a color, and she like would bought the exact letter and painted the exact color, like this like scripted out thing on Etsy that I bought. And she bought something very similar, and now I had a necklace with my daughter's name on it, and like in script, and she got something also very similar. And my other friend says that this girl treats me like a walking Pinterest board. So we have a Pendleton blanket thrown over our couch, and I walk into her house and she now has a Pendleton blanket on her couch. Like, she never had that before we did. You know what I mean? It's just odd. Like the other day she texted me and was like, "Where'd you guys get your sofa?" It's just like, I don't know. She's basically copying everything I do. But the icing on the cake was today I saw her, and one of the first things she said to me was like, "Oh, your earrings, where'd you get your earrings? Like, I think I was just looking at those on Catbird." And these are like very special earrings my husband got for me, and they are not cheap. And like, it's not just a casual thing for her to buy these, like they're over $1,000. He got them for me for like our anniversary gifts, whatever, like a while ago. And she's like, "Oh, can you believe it? We're going to have the same earrings." Like, no, do not buy these earrings. So basically, like, it's important to have friends when you're a new mom. You need a support system, and you need some people who are going through similar things as you. But, like, this is kind of enough to freaking make me not want to talk to her. So, I don't know. Should I grow up and just accept the fact that this girl's, like, inspired by me? Not to toot my own horn, but I don't know. Or should I just pull a friend fade away because it's too freaking annoying to stand? All right. Sorry, I'm rambling. And thank you so much in advance. Okay. Bye.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been more torn on a call in the history of Please Advise, because one, you sound like a fucking baby, and I feel like you need to worry about your child and realize that there's nothing original about Pendleton or Catbird jewelry or shit from Etsy carved into wood. Like, that is, I mean, come on. Like, everyone has that shit in their house. I have a Pendleton bed on my blanket. I mean, a blanket on my bed. Did you copy me? Like, look, I will tell you this.
I was thinking that, too. It's like, oh, it's like stuff that's popular on Pinterest. Maybe she doesn't know what Pinterest is.
And yeah.
Thinks you're cool and is trying to copy you.
But listen, sweetheart, I'll tell you something. I have been a muse and a tastemaker for years, and it's exhausting. It can be exhausting to see something that you wore 5 years ago on an average citizen. It can be hurtful. It can, you know, you feel like, I worked hard to curate that look, and now here I am watching some plebeian walk down the street in something I wore 5 years ago, and I know it's just a trickle down. But at the same time, you sound like a fucking baby, and there's so many bigger things in life. But at the same time, you sound like a fucking baby. Jamie, what do you think?
I mean, I'll just start by saying that I didn't have Catbird jewelry that cost $1,000 for my husband, but I did have this leather jacket that I loved that my aunt and my grandmother, they actually like went in on it together to buy it for me. And I just like thought it was the coolest thing. And I was like, it was like the one thing in my closet where I was like, that's kind of like my thing.
Yeah.
And I remember my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law both were like, "We bought the jacket." And I was kind of like, oh, there was something about it like being clothing where I was kind of like annoyed.
Yeah.
And I felt like kind of like we're talking about. I felt ridiculous for even being annoyed. Because why does it matter? We don't even live in the same city. But I did have a piece of like, oh, that was kind of my thing. And you kind of just like took this little piece of my identity, even though a jacket in no way is a piece of your identity. It's absolutely truly not. But I would agree with you. I think that the types of things you're talking about are things that just like the nature of Pinterest is very like, ooh, I want that.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of like you are describing yourself sort of as kind of a person who has pinned all of these cool things from Pinterest into your home or onto your body in the form of jewelry or clothes. So I kind of feel like you are a walking kind of inspiration, and you're younger than her, and she might not feel super plugged into coolness.
Exactly.
And she probably doesn't even realize she's doing it. And she probably also thinks that it's flattering.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that if it gets to a point where, you know, she starts to go into single white female territory, then you can start to worry. If it starts to feel like she's really trying to like assume your identity and then like fuck your husband.
Exactly.
I think at that point you can go, oh, okay, this isn't just about a letter painted whatever color in the nursery.
What would exactly be the thing that would tip
if
that
she
over?
Like if to, she's I'm a little bit drunk out and inappropriate, like if they have a dinner party, yes, or something, yes, and she gets a little bit like if she makes a one thing I would be very conscious of is if this woman is making undercutting comments to you in addition to the complimentary ones. So if like she gets drunk and kind of takes a shit on your life in any capacity, now you've confirmed it. This bitch wants your life and is jealous of you.
And if she has blonde hair and you have brown hair and she right suddenly goes brown and cuts it a certain length.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of joking, but I'm also not. That yeah would freak me the fuck out.
Yeah. But that's also like, I don't know. I feel like I've been in situations where I've been accused of like copying other people. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I just went to the same store you did and picked up the same thing in a very common store.
I know like, what you mean. Like, I'm a big, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just mean like, I don't want, that doesn't mean I want your life. Like,
right,
I don't,
no, totally.
You know, like, it's just, it's weird. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that this letter that was painted a certain color, I'm going to guess it's like a specific like shade of lavender. We're talking about a little girl, right? Or maybe like pink, a green. Like it's gonna be like a very on trend tone and color. Like this is not like
also
you...
everyone has those in their nurseries.
Exactly.
My nephews have those in their nurseries.
Exactly.
What I was just gonna say to add to your point is that most of my shopping that I do, I will see something on someone and go, I love that, and walk up to them and go, where did you get that?
Absolutely.
I'm a bit, and right now I'm in a writer's room and our writer's assistant, I love everything she wears. Mm-hmm. So multiple times a week, I'm like, where's it from?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not trying to like become her. So there is a little bit of like, I think you have to take it with a grain of flattery salt.
Yeah, I was in a writer's room with six women, and I would say by the end of it, most of us owned the same like 30 pieces because yes, we would just be like, what are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Yeah.
But I will also like say that I think that at certain points there could be a little bit of like tenseness around the fact that like you walk in and the same thing that someone was wearing last week and they're like, oh, you got that too. Like I've been on the receiving end of like, oh, you copied me.
Yeah.
And it's like, bitch, I don't want your life. I just like the jacket. Like, I know. That's, you know, like,
it's so true.
It's really like, it's so much less deep.
It's so
and
much
personal.
Less deep.
And like, it is like also like, it's a compliment. Like, it really is. And also, I mean, I don't know. Again, like, oh,
can I just make one comment that I was just thinking about again off of what you just said?
Yeah.
I think also, and I don't want to project onto this person's life because obviously we have very little information.
Were you going to say she sounds bored?
A little. And I think because I do have friends who are new moms.
Yeah.
And like one of my good friends, she lives in kind of like a gated community outside of Austin. And it sounds from the way she is described quite insular.
Yes.
And everyone's kind of in this new mom. We're all friends. We're all hanging out while our husbands are gone kind mm-hmm. of community. And I do think that that sort of ends up becoming a bubble.
Yes.
Where all of these little like micro movements within this new mom community feel like the biggest things in the world.
Absolutely.
But actually they're very, very minuscule mm-hmm. and inconsequential.
I mean, hearing how upset she got about yes. it was what was comical about it to me. Like, I really thought that we were going to get to a point where she did like fuck her husband.
It's a little like Big Little Lies. It's like yes. we're all kind of just trying to like fill a little time by harping on things that aren't that important.
Well, it's unconscious. And I have to say, like, I don't want to lecture you. I don't have a child. I can't speak to the importance of that.
Oh, yes.
But like,
I also want to make that disclaimer.
I will say to you that the things that you have to worry about in the world raising a daughter right now are so fucking far from a Pendleton blanket like draped across a couch. Like, we might not have Pendleton blankets next year. Like, so like
Etsy might crash.
Like, you really need to kind of start thinking about the bigger picture and responsibility and excitement of raising a little girl, which I'm not saying you're not doing, but if you can muster up this much upset over what is literally probably the most insignificant thing you could be upset about in the world right now, I have to say, like, girl.
Oh, I just had an idea for her.
Take a road trip.
Well, that also, that's excellent advice. Also, maybe you are a tastemaker and fuck it. Become a mommy blogger. Like, put it into a, start an Instagram where you start photographing all these things you're buying and, like, maybe be the person who inspires a lot of moms to, like, buy certain stuff. Because you sound like you're great at it. Catbird, I love their jewelry. Sounds like you have good taste. I mean, you're into the shit I'd be into as a new mom, so maybe make it your thing.
But I feel like, and not to say that that's a not a great idea, because I do think this woman needs a an outlet. I just feel like it's also starting a fire a little bit, because it's a little bit like where did you get the idea for the painted letter? I know you didn't invent wooden letters. Like, you've seen this all before yourself, Ariel. Like, you've seen it all before yourself. So I don't know. I think that while you've curated a cute little life for yourself, like, you cannot act like shopping at the mall makes you a unique individual. Like, you're literally talking about stuff from Etsy and, like, Pendleton and, like, just...
And also give yourself more credit, because your identity is in no way tethered to these possessions. Like, you are way more complex than any of the shit you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it must be nice. I mean, it sounds like they live a very cushy life.
I know, like, it sounds like a dream.
It really does. I would, like, love.
I'm like, what is this neighborhood? It sounds very Scarsdale. I was very on board.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where it was. My other piece of advice is just start buying terrible things and see if she copies you that way, too.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, like a decoy.
Yeah, like, send her some, like, start, send her a link for something ugly.
Like, start crimping your hair.
Ooh,
and, like,
yeah.
What is another terrible thing she could start wearing?
Like, some kind of, like chunky necklace.
Yeah, like a Luann de Lesseps.
Like an anti-Catbird, just, like, chunks of, like, bedazzled, disgusting chunks.
Chunks. Just wear so many shorts, so covered in chunks.
Covered in chunks.
Just dress like you would in 2003.
Ooh, great
year.
Yes,
exactly right.
For bad.
Okay. Well, praying for you. Excited to hear updates on this. Please let us know if she kills you or your family. And we'll talk to you soon, Ariel. Okay, Christina has picked out a letter from our mailbag. Jamie's going to read it.
Okay. Here goes. Hi, Malls / Christina / lovely guest. Love the podcast. Newish listener. Love Emotionally Broken Psychos. Your take on LC versus Spencer season 2 of The Hills was an eye opener for me and changed like 10 years of my thinking. I'll make this short and sweet, since you hate reading aloud. I'm hence why Jamie's doing it. I'm in a long distance marriage. It is loving and stable as far as long-distance marriages go. No kids. We are about to reunite soon for a vacation. He gained some weight the last time we saw each other 6 months ago, and he might have gained some more. I know he is unhappy about his shape because he says that he is. Before he met me, he had a six-pack. He showed me proof in pictures. But when I met him and after, he's been dad bod at best, which is fine for me, but him talking about it bums me out. How can I motivate him to get back on the road to feeling good about himself? I'm not expecting Tom Hardy in Warrior. Just better health? Please advise. Kisses, Ivy.
Ivy, what the fuck do you care? You never see this man. Like,
6 months.
I mean, under what circumstances does this relationship arise? Like, I can't, because it's not like a citizenship thing, because they would have to be living together if that was a citizenship thing, right? It's not, I mean, it doesn't sound like an international thing.
Is it the army?
It could be the army. That's not a terrible guess at all. I mean, like, that's, but what is, okay, okay, yeah, maybe it's the army.
But I feel like when it's the army, people say my husband's in the army, so we don't, like, you know
exactly.
What I mean? I feel like it's always like a talking point. So long distance feels ominous, but anyways.
Yeah, no, you're right. They love to say in the army.
They
That's
do.
Like the whole, they get off
my
on
dog
that.
Groomer let me know that her son's in the army, and I've spoken to her twice in my life.
Yeah, you love to let people know.
Yeah.
Dr. Laura says that all the time. She's like, oh yeah, I always tell people you got to keep like signals of your son being a veteran all around the house, like a flag on the front porch and like a sticker in the window. Like, they love it.
I just told myself that he's like a businessman in Shanghai or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Okay.
I do know a woman whose like husband was working a majority of the year in like Dubai or something, but that ultimately and like led to the end of their marriage, like because that wasn't something that was in that wasn't something that was going on when they got married. So like this was a lifestyle that they kind of eased into, and then she was like, you know, as a person would be uncomfortable with their spouse being all the way across the world most of the year. So they wound up divorcing. It doesn't sound like they have any intention to divorce. I mean, girl, I would be less worried about a six pack and more worried about like what STDs he's going to give you when you guys see each other again. Because like, how do you deal with this? Like just like not having, what do you like have phone sex every day? Like what goes on? How
kind of, yeah. It almost feels like she like you're trying to find a thing that couples fight about or talk about because you're trying to kind of do an impression of a relationship or something.
Yes, exactly.
This sounds like such a low, like she's like, oh, I'm bummed out that he doesn't like his body. It's like, oh, that should be like number 40 on a list of other things that need to be fixed.
Yeah.
Which is just being together.
I mean, to answer your question, it sounds like since you guys never see each other, the stakes are pretty low and that he can be mad at you from wherever he is for as long as he wants to be. So it sounds like, I mean, didn't it not sound like she said he showed her a picture before they got married? Like
before they got together, he showed her a picture of when he had six pack abs, but he did not have six pack abs when they started dating. And it annoys her to like see those things.
Girl, like in Ivy, like God bless. I like almost can't even comment on this because yeah. I just like you're not. I mean, thank you for keeping it short and sweet. I appreciate that. But like, guys, when I yell at you about over-including details, I'm saying that like maybe if you had disclosed that he was wearing a green flannel in the shirt where he in the picture where he was like showing you his six pack, that's the kind of detail where I'm like, I didn't need to know he was wearing a green flannel. If you're oddly married to someone who lives across the country from you and you never see them and you've only like communicated through, sounds like at the very beginning of them dating, like pictures and stuff like that. I don't know, man. Like, I need more details on that. How am I supposed to help you? Just tell him he's fat. Tell him that he's fat and that he needs to. I mean, what do you care? You never see this man.
It sounds like he's wanting you to. It also sounds a little bit like he's wanting to say, like, look how gross I am now. So you'll be like, no, you look great.
Okay.
Did I misunderstand?
No, that seems like.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or hey, I used to look great. Like, look how great I used to look.
Like yeah, I was supposed to be like an insult, like I'm not going to get in shape for you. I don't know. I need more details.
But the strangest part is that this is something I would expect from like, you know, a 50 something person who's down on their luck. Like the first marriage was abusive and weird. Like the type of people you see on 90 Day Fiance where you're just like, oh, OK, no wonder you're marrying a person you've never met from a strange country. Like you're like you just have given up on yourself. But Ivy watched The Hills actively, and I feel like it would be very strange if she was in her 40s watching The Hills, which is the only scenario. So I feel like she's like our age.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I don't know. Okay. Well, girl, I don't know, man. Look, I don't know. We need more details. Please call us back. I mean, ugh. That's so weird. Christina, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we've tackled calls like this before where like you get in a relationship and you know you get comfortable and you gain weight and how do you confront a partner and like say hey.
Dan Savage would tell you that like, and this is like something very controversial that he says, but like he feels that his like a point of his relationship with Terry, something that's like very important to their marriage, is that Terry's fucking in shape and that he stays in shape, and that kind of is like a big reason why they're together, why it works so well, why they're still hot for each other all these years later. And you can tell him like, when I see you, my limited time with you, when I see you, I would like it if you were taking care of yourself, like at least like in the weeks leading up to us getting together, like do a cleanse, like make sure you're drinking extra water. Like, maybe, like, lay off, like, you know, the cured meats and eat, like, a chicken breast. Like,
right. Taking care of yourself is also, it's something that's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
It's not a type of thing that you can't fix. So just take care of it. It's not fun for anybody, but also it is there for you.
You know what I just realized? I realized that we were thinking about this as people who are not, like, super fucking depressing. And so we have to think about this like a super fucking depressed person. Right. And I just realized this is what you need to do. You need to go to, like, the Blueprint Cleanse website. you need to order this man a 4-day cleanse or something like that. And you need to include a sexy note in there about how you can't wait to see him for the vacation and you want to have fun. That is how a fucking depressed person would answer that question. And so I think that, like, or a person who would settle. That's how a person who would settle would answer that question. So I think you need to think of it that way, because I think you obviously have settled. You've chosen a very strange life for yourself, when it's weird to put the demands of an average relationship on it when it is anything but average. Call us back, please. All right. Is that it for our calls? We have one more call. Okay, let's do one more.
Hi, Molly. This is Ashley. I'm 26 in Illinois. And I was just watching your Snapchat, and I was just wondering, what do you use on your brows? Because they look amazing. I'm really into brows lately. So I'd love if you could answer that question. Also, I'm a follower from back in the YouTube days when you used to do the 5 faves of the week. I think that was through Hello Giggles too. But I just think that you should bring that back as a segment on Please Advise. Just a thought. So, I love you. And I wish you best of luck on all of the amazing podcasts that you're doing right now that I love. So have a great day. Bye.
Jamie, I actually have a question for you. So I used to do like vlogging back before people were like vlogging, and like I used to do a lot of videos and stuff like that, and I had a friend take me out to lunch, like an older friend that I respect a lot, and he was like, you missed the boat on what YouTube is now. And he's like, he's right. Like, before everyone started to figure out a way to monetize it, and there was a very clear way to market yourself on YouTube and get your videos seen, and like, you know, the definition of what can be viral was a lot more stringent back then. Like, I feel like he was like, you should start your YouTube channel again. But at the same time, I'm 33 years old. Like, I'll be 33 next week. Like, is there something inherently pathetic about a 33-year-old restarting her YouTube career?
I truly do not think so.
You really don't?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I think anything where it's like you taking control of like what you want your career to be, whether it's like podcasts or like things that you can really like control and put out there for the public to enjoy. And you obviously have like a knack for it and you have a fan base. Absolutely not.
Okay. Thanks,
Absolutely
girl.
Not.
Especially wouldn't since be that's like the genesis of your career. It's like at the core of your career.
It would be like a revisitation. It's true. But like, I've been feeling weird about that. Thank you for saying that though. Every time someone mentions that they used to watch my YouTube videos, literally like 8 years ago or something like that, I'm very like appreciative of that, and that you've been hanging in there for all those years. I would never do it for like a living unless it became a living,
right?
But like, I figure, like, you know, I'm not comfortable unless I'm working. Like,
same.
I have no work-life balance. Like,
I'm the same way.
Like, it impedes relationships. So
yes.
Like, I think it's very impressive that you can be married to someone.
It's very hard.
It's difficult to balance, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, right now I'm doing 3 podcasts and writing 2 scripts, and I would like to add YouTube videos to that mix as well. But like, I just feel like it's another fun thing I can do. I mean, I have this house and I sit up here and just burn energy all day. So like, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, I feel like you should definitely.
Okay, wait. So what was her original question?
Brows.
Oh, my eyebrows. Well, I don't wear makeup most days when I'm on my Snapchat, but I did dye my eyebrows.
Ooh.
Like 3 shades darker than my hair last month, which I thought would be like just a shortcut, so that like when I don't do my brows, which is most of the time, it's still like I have a defined eyebrow. They grow out really quickly, though, so you have to, like...
You're so lucky.
It's so crazy how fast eyebrows grow.
Mine grow so slow.
Are
I've been trying
real?
To grow them out. They look crazy right now because I've been actively, like, not trying to tweeze them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just feel like they're never going to fill back in, and I'm really stressed out about it.
They look great to me.
When I moved,
this was also another thing, too, is that when I moved, I didn't know where my tweezers were for, like, 3 months. And so I couldn't do anything with my eyebrows at home unless I like went to the salon.
Uh-huh.
And I was so busy that I kind of just like went once in 6 weeks. And in that time, a lot of my eyebrows just like naturally grew out.
Ooh, that's so awesome.
And it was like a nice thing because I was able to like not beat myself up about it because I literally didn't know where my tweezers were. And I wasn't going to like go buy like another like $20 pair of tweezers because I was feeling vain that day. Like I was just like, I'll either go to the salon or one day I'll find the box that has my tweezers in it. I use Glossier, actually, who sponsored us once. They sent me like a trial sample of their product, the brow pomade, and ooh, it was really, really good.
Is it supposed to regrow? Does it have like that in it, or it's just a pomade?
It's just like a pomade with a tint to it.
Oh, nice.
And so like it darkens and thickens it up. I also found now that like Glossier is so huge and like that boy brow product has been like very, very famous. And by the way, I found out Glossier is, do you remember, did you watch The Hills?
Not really.
Okay. Well, there was like this super intern in the office in New York that okay. was like Elsie's rival.
Uh-huh.
This girl, the super intern, is the one who created Glossier, which oh. is this like huge company now. So like,
yeah, I've heard of it. I just, yeah, I don't know the product. There's another one. I'm actually looking it up right now that I love that Benefit makes. I don't use a lot of Benefit, but they make a brow gel that's not a gel like the clear kind where it looks like you have like LA looks yeah, in your yeah, brows yeah. I hate that. It's like a it's a tinted brow gel, so when you comb through it it yeah. gives it just like a little bit of color.
Yeah.
And they come in I think two different shades, so you can get the lighter one or the darker one, and it's a great product.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not wearing it now, but I am a big fan of it.
And because like we are in like, you know, brows are the most they're like the most, one of the most accessible parts of the beauty world right now. Everyone is worried about brows, thinking about brows. There's actually a lot of good products at the drugstore. I was just at a Rite Aid in Palm Springs and I was like, they had an entire brow section.
Oh, wow.
And I found like a pretty decent brow pomade. It was like, I think by that company, like ELF or ELF yeah. or whatever it's called. And it was really, really good. It was like a little bit darker than anything I would normally want, but like it was a very dramatic look over like the New Year's holiday and stuff like that. And that was, I was really surprised because I tend to like shy away from drugstore beauty products in my older years and like stick to more natural stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty good for a drugstore thing. Like you can find that shit out yeah. in the world now.
I know. Brows are, everyone wants good brows.
But seriously, like if you already highlight your hair or something, or if you just like get your roots done or whatever, go to, when you go to the salon, just say like, can you throw some dark like dye on my brows? Like go three shades darker than whatever my hair color is. And that's all I did. Girl, thanks for calling.
What do you guys think the next thing is going to be? Because for a while it was nails, now it's brows. Like, what do you think the next beauty obsession is going to be?
I've been big on cheeks for a while. Like, I think that it's very, very important to, like, when I go out, I've noticed so many people just skip cheeks now. They, like, go with a really heavy eye or, like, a really, like, that Kylie lip. And it's, like, not contour style cheeks, but I think that cheeks need to be more flushed in the near future. I think that like a healthier look is going to be coming into play in the near future, especially because I feel that like it's a biological thing. Like when you see someone with flushed cheeks, and like I think our society is about to get really fucked up and scared, and people start to revert to like primal instincts, and flushed cheeks are a sign of health,
right?
And nutrition. So yeah.
Also, I just bought a cream blush. Because I used to have like yeah. really terrible acne for a long time. So anything that was like cream based, like even foundations, everything broke me out. So yeah. I was always just like kind of using like powder or like bare minerals. But finally my skin is cleared up. So I was like, okay, let's try this whole like cream whatever.
World.
Yeah. Phenomenon. And I love it. Because
you
it,
do?
It, yeah. I love it because it makes your skin dewy as opposed to like dry, like the look that powder gives.
Yes.
I'm a really big fan. Also, it blends in really well, almost to the point where you're not really wearing blush, but it is there and it's
so
that look you're talking about.
That's been my downfall with cream blushes is that like, it's so stupid, but like the first place I touch it stays the darkest. And like I always like wind up just like taking all my makeup off after using it because I'm like, I look like I have like a pink fingerprint.
Right, you
and,
look like a
doll.
How do
I blend
yeah.
this out? Like, well, how yeah. do you blend it out?
I just put it on and I don't know if it's the kind that I bought. I actually don't. I would tell you the brand right now. I don't remember the brand. But yeah, it's just it whatever it is, it blends in really easily.
That's
it, like,
good to know.
It gets yeah, it thins out as you like massage it into your skin.
Is it in a tube or is it like
it's in a little stick.
Oh, okay, okay. The one I have
you
is
apply
like,
it with. It's almost like a big lipstick.
Oh, that is fucking dope. Okay, I need to get that. Text me about.
I'm gonna send you what it is. It's so good, and you can mention it on the podcast.
We'll tell you guys.
I don't think it's a really popular brand. I didn't buy it at Sephora, but I did buy it at one of those kind of like expensive pharmacies. You know what I'm talking about? Where they have like you can like get pills, but also like Frederick Fekkai.
Wait,
what's happening here?
Yeah.
One of those places. They have a lot of those in LA.
I love that. I love those little I can spend hours at a pharmacy. Just like
Larchmont Beauty.
Larchmont Beauty is
a that's not like, a pharmacy, but that's the kind of vibe.
That's like it's I'm talking I can live at Larchmont Beauty. I can camp out for probably 3 to 4 days in your standard CVS. Like I just really like to just like read all I love to read the labels. I love to just like take it in. I like to think about how other people use these things at home, not even in the beauty section. I'm talking about like I'll go to the canned food aisle and just literally sit on the floor and read all the different cans for an hour. That's like a very therapeutic, calming thing for me.
Oh, I have a favorite section of the pharmacy there. It's like holistic, like ethnic holistic.
Yeah.
Pharmacy items.
You don't like that?
No, I do. Oh, I like to check it out. Like they'll have like some sort of Mexican cream that I've never seen before. And I'm like, what does this do? Why is it in Rite Aid? What's going on?
Glendale has all these like little like bodega-y like stores that are like, I'm like, how do they have so many butchers here that survive or whatever? But then like
they're money laundering friends.
Don't say that. But then sometimes I go into these little markets and I'm like, you know, getting my carrots or whatever. And then I see they have like all these strange Persian and Armenian beauty products. And I feel like Persians and Armenians just so fucking get it. So like I always buy whatever like random. I don't even care if I can read the front of it. I just get it.
There's also those beauty stores in Koreatown because like skincare is very, loved very it when like, I was essential in parts of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like always fascinating. Like I remember people getting charcoal things before charcoal was like a big thing in the beauty.
You remember that, girl? I was up on charcoal for years living in K-Town, girl. Okay, but there is a mall that's like at 7th and it's at, okay, so it's at 8th and St. Andrew, essentially behind the gas station, and there's a little mall right there. And in that mall, you just walk in. There's no like real stores. It's just like kind of like an open plaza, and different vendors who have different stuff. And the first one, right when you walk in, they have like everything. They have like the best false eyelashes for like $3 a box. They have everything charcoal. They've had charcoal shit since I lived there. And it's super, super cheap too, like inexpensive and good stuff. So if you guys, go to Asian places. All right. Well, I think that's it for episode 118 of Please Advise. Jamie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm excited to read your book. Where can people find it?
Oh, you can get it now. It's Ridiculous, An Unfiltered Guide to Being a Bride. And it's available at ridiculousbook.com. And Ridiculous is spelled Weddiculous. And then I'm on Twitter at @TheJamieLee. And I'm doing a stand-up tour, to, you know, tie into the book. So, check out the website and come see me live.
And can I tell you, you did such a good job on My Favorite Murder, and I was so excited that I already had you booked. And I was like, I have like a true podcast head.
Oh
coming.
My God, that's so cool.
You did a great job.
Oh, thank you. I was like legitimately doing homework for that podcast.
I have to be honest with you, I can't imagine anything more intimidating.
I was so nervous.
Even though Karen and Georgia are so nice, I would be so nervous.
I was really nervous. And they were like, do you want to go first? I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. But you really held your own, girl.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad that you did that.
Thank you, friend.
Can I go on a tangent real quick? I was looking at your Twitter feed right now, and you have a tweet that's like, Claire Forlani, I miss you. And I was going down a YouTube hole yesterday of like shitty rom-coms from the early 2000s, most of which were starring Freddie Prinze Jr., and there was one that she was in with him.
Yes.
What was that called?
Boys and Girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
It was the era where people were having choreographed dances.
Yes. Yep.
In the middle of a movie where it did not make sense.
They don't make movies. I mean, I'm going to sound like this is so embarrassing that I'm even saying this about like movies like She's All That, but they don't make films like that anymore.
Don't.
They don't make movies like they used to. Like, once every 2 years, we'll get like The Duff or something.
Yes.
But like, there's no great like teen movies coming out on the reg anymore.
Teen movies starring 33-year-olds.
Yes. We need more of them.
Just like sexually confusing all of us. I mean, 10 things I hate about you. Like, where are they? Like, not even like a Legally Blonde.
I know,
like,
I just don't have these. I miss the high school that looked like a castle in Ireland.
Oh yeah.
That
completely,
was my favorite.
Completely. God,
now
that
high schools
so
and movies
romantic.
Just look like high schools. Like, they got called out and now they just don't do it anymore.
It's so true. It's so true. You're right. You're exactly right. Like, there's nothing more boring than the high school set in movies now.
Yes. It's just, it takes you back to your own high school. But I liked it when it was like, whoa, where did they go to high school? Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
What was your favorite movie from that era?
Well, actually, mine was kind of a deep cut. It was the one with Adrienne Grenier and Melissa Joan Hart.
Drive Me Crazy.
Yeah. I loved that movie.
Yeah. I love that movie, too.
I love an element where neighbors fall in love.
Oh, so good. That happened in The Duff. They were neighbors.
I actually didn't see The Duff. I just threw that out there.
You
kind of ruined it for me.
Sorry.
I don't know if Drive Me Crazy is a deep cut if the main song was by Britney Spears.
It was confusing because, yes, it was
okay,
a Britney Spears
song. Okay, I actually
song.
Know the backstory. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, please tell you? Me. I want to know.
So originally in that movie, her best friend, Melissa Joan Hart's best friend's character was supposed to have a bigger role. And her role was that she said everything in headlines, like newspaper headlines. The bit was, I guess, Girl Gives Birth to Prom Date was the original name of the movie. And I remember this because I remember Melissa Joan Hart saying in a magazine, my new movie is called Girl Gives Birth to Prom Date because my best friend's character says everything in headlines. So Drive Me Crazy comes out. Obviously, it was retitled because they got the Britney Spears song. And also, that joke was very abstract by the time the entire movie was put together. So that was the original title of that movie.
What?
Girl Gives Birth to Prom Date. And by the way, I only know that because I can't do math. Like, that is like everything. I remember a 17 magazine article from when I was 17 about a movie that they never even announced that they changed the title. It's so sad that I know that.
I can't believe that you had a story explaining why all that happened. That's incredible.
I wish I knew more.
I can't believe I was so loyal to that movie and I didn't know that.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Oh my God, girl, yeah. I'll meet you next week.
Friends.
Were you a big 17-year-old magazine person?
I was, but I don't remember any articles really. The only thing I remember vividly was thinking Ivanka Trump was really beautiful because she was on the cover.
Same.
And I was obsessed with her.
Yeah, same.
I was like, who is this girl?
And also, yeah, I also like didn't really know who Donald Trump was. I just was like,
no,
knew he was
neither.
A rich man. And
I knew
this...
Ivana.
Yes, exactly.
But I was like, oh, it's Ivana's daughter.
And I couldn't wrap
Wasn't
my
it
head around.
Did I make
yeah,
that?
No,
it
was.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that like they had basically the same name except for one letter. Like that
right.
seemed. I almost assumed that the entire article was a typo. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, "Oh, they must have like mixed this up." Like I think yeah. there's a typo in here because who would do that? Who would name their daughter the exact same thing except for one letter?
Yeah, I grew up in New York, so I've been like aware of the Trump family my entire life, and it's been annoying. And now I'm super annoyed that I'm never gonna not hear about them ever again.
Right?
Yeah. Oh wait, one more thing, one more 17 magazine thing, because Max, our second guest, is running a little late. I think I also told him he couldn't come in until 2:00. Do you remember the article in 17 magazine? It almost read like a parody. And it was about a girl who had like a legit real addiction to chapstick and she failed one of her college finals.
No.
Because she could like she was trying to get like she had to stop at a CVS and like get that sweet hit of a cherry chapstick
oh
and she forgot
God.
It on the way to her final. And she's like, there's no way I can take my final without my chapstick. And I read it and I was like, I remember like flipping over the magazine, like looking everywhere for like some sort of sign that this was a parody. And like, it wasn't a parody. Like, and now like that is totally an article that would exist on any magazine yep. or BuzzFeed. And you'd read it and you'd be like, oh, I genuinely believe this person has an addiction to chapstick. People can be addicted to anything.
Sure. She would be on My Strange Addiction.
Yeah. There'd
or
be a show
even
for
like,
her.
Or even like, you know, she'd be the brave face of people with that have been like tormented by chapstick their entire life. Like she'd be this brave face, like the way that the first empath or whatever stepped forward or the highly sensitive person stepped forward. Like it would be a label that we could all own. Like, oh, I'm a sex addict. I'm a chapstick addict. Yeah. I'm a, you know, whatever addict, screen addict. So, yeah. It was really weird. If anyone else remembers that, that for me is like my Mandela effect moment where I'm just like, please tell me someone out there remembers this fucking Chapstick article from 17 that treated it like literally like she was smoking black tar heroin outside of her college final. It was wild.
Whew. I can't. I feel like I read that magazine so closely. I must have missed it because I feel like that would have stuck with me for sure.
Special snowflakes before there was such a thing as special snowflakes. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for listening, Jamie. You are awesome. We've never met before.
I know.
Right?
I'm so glad. This was so fun.
Comfortable too. That's the best. This sometimes was great. There's like a little moment of like, oh, okay,
we'll get through this.
We did it.
And Wags only growled a minimum amount, and now he's licking the microphone. Yeah,
you're
it was
just
really
a cute boy. You're a cute boy. Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye.